I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The morning is from Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Julia. Appreciate that. Interesting scripture. So many times this scripture tends to be misinterpreted. It looks pretty straightforward, but it's not. For example, can you tell me when the Lord is going to return? There are people on the street corner will tell you. There's some guy living out on an island that says he's calculated the day and time. We've had people all through history calculate the day and time, and yet it hadn't happened. Because you see, it makes it very clear, not just here, but in other parts of Scripture, of that day, we do not know. There's no way for us to know. Now, these people that say they know, they either have a direct line to God, or they just know the mind of God, or, even less likely, they are God. We don't know. There's no way for us to know, so we have to live with faith and hope. Isn't that what Jesus told us to do? Live in faith and in hope? Let us look at the bridesmaids. You know, at first glance, we may be tempted to go along with the fact that 5 of them were foolish. Well, they were, but not in the way most people think. It wasn't that they weren't vigilant. They were. Go back, look at it. All of them slept. So it's not like all 10 of them stayed awake waiting. They didn't. They slept. The difference was, is 5 of them came prepared with an extra flask of oil. So if the bridegroom was late, they could keep going with their lamps. The other 5 didn't. So what does that mean for you and me? If we read this scripture and we read about the bridegroom, do you know who the bridegroom is? Jesus. He's telling a story about himself. Now, 2,000 years later, are you staying up all night so you can see if Jesus is coming? No, it's not going to happen. It's not about we can't sleep. It's about being prepared for when that day comes. And if I keep preaching, the sound system is just going to keep working. I just figured that one out. That's good. But over 2,000 years later, and we have people that have given up. Well, it hadn't happened. Well, of course it hadn't happened. We're not supposed to know the day and time. And no one said it's going to happen next week. Or next year. We don't know. But we are required, according to our Lord, to be prepared. The point of the parable is not constant readiness in terms of staying awake. But it's about living with hope. The hope of the return in our lifetime. May not happen. Might be in someone else's lifetime. But we have that hope. You know, there was a young psychology student when I was in the Navy. He wanted to do some tests. He hadn't finished college. He got drafted before he could finish, and he didn't use it as a way out. But he did use the Navy as a way to do testing. He thought it would be interesting. So he and I both, after boot camp, we were put in the kitchen to work. KP. It was a lot of fun. But he used it as a way to check things out psychologically. And what he did is we had apricots. Now, I don't know how many of you have eaten Navy apricots, but we don't get the best ones in the world. So it's kind of hard to sell. But what he did is he stood at the end of the chow line, and as people went through, here's what he said. This was his test. You don't want apricots, do you? 90% of them said no. So he waited the next day we were there. Coming through the line, what did he do? He said, you want apricots, don't you? Half of them said yes. The next day in his little test, as they came through the line, he said, how many apricots? One or two? 90% of them took apricots. 40% of those took two. Point being, it's how we present things. It's how we present things. And if we present a God who has not fulfilled God's promise to come back, then we've got an issue, don't we? But if we present it as God knows the day and time, so be prepared, that's a different story, isn't it? Let's talk about inviting people to church. What if you go to somebody and you say, you don't want to come to my church, do you? Are they going to come to your church? But if you say to them, you want to go to church, don't you? You might get a yes. But what if you say, worship, Sunday school, or both? Which do you want? Some of them might say, well, I'll take worship, or I'll take Sunday school, or I will take both. But we are responsible for how we invite people, how we present the gospel. And if we're not doing that, then what are we doing as Christians? If we're not presenting the gospel in such a way that people want to be a part of it, that people want to come and be with us, then where are we going with all this? What is it that we want people to do? Over 2,000 years, and what we see is a decline in the church. Anyone here disagree with that? There is a decline in the church, mainly because, as Christians, we haven't always been vigilant, prepared for inviting people. We allow our anger with individuals within the church, our disappointments with people in the church, and our own need to be in control to shadow the message of our Lord and Savior. We do. Many are more willing to repeat gossip, speak ill of people, programs, or worship, and when they do, others listen. In 37 years, I have heard this, I promise you, I'm not kidding. 37 years, not one year has gone by that I haven't had at least one person, and usually more, say, no, I don't go to church, there's too much drama. There's too much drama. The gossip, wanting to be in control, speaking ill of other members, talking ill about the programs or the worship, whatever it may be, people actually hear us when we say these things. There's a powerful drama by J.B. Priestley. It's called An Inspector's Call. I don't know if you've ever seen it or read anything about it, but it's really interesting because a young woman dies. And this inspector comes to the house and wants to find out why she died. It wasn't a murder. So, the inspector gets there and interviews everyone in the house. And what he discovers is everyone in that house, 10 people, contributed to her death. By what they said, by what they did, how they acted, the secrets that they had, everyone contributed to this young woman taking her own life. We see a decline in the church. How many of us can say we've contributed to the decline because of our behavior, our attitude? Are we truly prepared? Do we have that extra flask of oil? Our story of the bridesmaid is surrounded by like stories. You might remember in Matthew 24, it speaks of the Son of Man coming. Later in this chapter, there is yet another story of the Son of Man coming. Matthew wants to get the word out to us. Matthew feels it is very important we live in the hope of Jesus' return. To live in that hope. When was the last time you thought about or talked about your faith, your hope, with your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? When was the last time you made that really important discussion for your family to know where you stand, who you are, what you believe, and how you're prepared? Not by staying awake, but keeping that extra flask of oil. Do your family members know that you're a person of faith? Not that you're a person who goes to church. You probably heard the old saying, you can go to church every day if you want to. That doesn't mean you're a Christian. But a person of faith. You live it out in your life, in your home. And equally important, do they know that you live with the hope of our Lord and Savior coming? Do they know that? That you live with the hope of peace in the world through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Remember these words. And now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Unfortunately, what happens is we talk about love all the time in the church. Now, I'm not saying that we always live it, but we talk about it. But folks, there are three things there, not just one. Faith and hope. Faith and hope doesn't get the attention that love does. I've always felt a close relationship with God. I know many times in my life God has had His hands around me, holding me. I think I've shared with you, if I haven't, when I was a small child of about 5, I went swimming and I started drowning. And a lifeguard jumped in and saved me, barely. And I was with my family, but they thought I was just playing and frolicking in the water. That was the first time. Then you may remember last November I was in a wreck. I was going up State Line, which is not a good thing. Don't go up State Line. Sitting at a light, and a guy plows into the back of me going 45 to 50, according to the officer, knocked me into oncoming traffic, and then I got T-boned by a pickup truck. Got knocked up into a parking lot. A couple of you were actually there, saw it after it happened. I got out of the car, walked around. The officer walked up to me, and he said, "Who was driving this car?" I said, "Me." And he said, "And you got out?" "Well, I'm standing here talking to you." "And you're alive?" "Yep, I'm alive, but I know why I'm alive. Same reason I didn't drown." I value my relationship with God. I know God has a plan. I know God has a plan for each and every one of us. I don't know what it is, but I know that my hope in life and for my family is in the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is God will continue to intervene in my life. My hope is that God will intervene in this world. But I got to tell you, and I know you know this, you look around and you see what goes on in this world. Sutherland, Texas, anybody? Someone walks in, kills 26 people. Las Vegas, a lot more. It is easy in our world today to give up hope. Don't. Bad things happen. They have all through history. We don't give up hope. You know why? Because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that God works for good. Sometimes I think that all these events that have been happening choke people out. I don't know if you've ever seen this kind of thing happen, but a house across the street from my house, there's this beautiful oak tree. It's always been so pretty. And these vines started growing up the tree, and they just kept growing. And at first I thought, well, those are really pretty. But they kept growing, and they got tighter, and they were actually choking the tree. A gardener down the road went over to the lady across the street and said, that vine's killing your oak. And she says, what do you do? He got down on his knees and he cut the root, the bottom of that vine. Just started cutting them all loose. Didn't take the vines off, just cut them. Within days, the vines began to die. Within days, you could see the tree was revived. Folks, that's what these events do to us. When we see things like Vegas and Sutherland and all these other things, the hurricanes, often we let these little creepers get all over us and start, oh my gosh, I'm suffocating. I can't believe this place is so bad. And we become depressed and despondent and maybe even say to people, I don't even know if going to church can help. Don't do that, please. That vine's getting cut. Those little creepers aren't always going to be there. There is hope. There will always be hope. There was a submarine, and I know you love Navy stories. There was a submarine off the coast of the U.S., and it got rammed by a ship. The submarine went down, way down. Deep sea diver went down to help and see if he could rescue them. The Navy was on it. Boy, they got people down there to help. But when the deep sea diver got down there, he could hear tapping. 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 And he put his ear up to the side of the submarine and he realized it was Morse code. A sailor inside that submarine was tapping out, "Is there any hope?" What we do. That's us today. When we allow our hope to wane, the little creepers take over our lives and we begin to say, is there any hope? There is hope. There will always be hope. We are a people of hope. If we weren't, why are we here? Do we come because someone said it's a good idea? Are we true believers? It is our Lord Jesus Christ who gives us hope. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who lives in this world. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who is sitting next to you right now. It is our Lord Jesus Christ that goes out the doors with you. It is in Him and in His return that we find hope. The question is, are we listening? Faith, hope, and love, abide these three. Now, we've heard this, but maybe you don't know what abide means. If you don't, let me help you out. Accept or act in accordance with. So, the question for us today, do we accept and act in accordance with these three? Faith, hope, and love. They all go together. To pick one is to take no apricots at all. There are three. Faith, hope, love. Our Lord said it. Paul said it. I believe it. Do you? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you this day, oftentimes we choose one of three, and yet we know there are three. Just as there is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is faith, hope, and love. May we choose all three. May we live our faith. May we invite people to come to our church and never allow them to hear anything negative from our lips that is about your church, Lord. Your church. Be with us. Fill us with your Spirit. That as we go forth from this place, we go forth renewed in hope, renewed in our love, and renewed in our faith. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.